My eyes are going to be glued on the offensive linemen down in Mobile at this year's Senior Bowl, and I'll be answering your listener questions, including what will the Falcons do in round one if they don't take a pass rusher?
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, a.k.a. Sirius Black, a.k.a. Mr. Drew, and the most humble host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family, your team every day. And today's episode is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 6 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on your entry. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. And guys, we thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day. Of course, it's free and available Monday through Friday on a variety of podcast platforms, including on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Falcons on YouTube. You'll get the video version of the podcast the night before the audio drops. And guys, make sure you check out us on Roku and Amazon Fire TV, right? As part of Locked On Sports Atlanta, just download that Locked On Sports Atlanta app and you will be able to check out this handsome face on your Roku and Amazon Fire TV. So, guys, if you're watching on YouTube, where, you know, hopefully hit that subscribe, give us that like. But you may notice I'm wearing a similar outfit than I was wearing on the previous episode on Friday/Saturday, where I was talking and reacting to the Ryan Nielsen defensive coordinator hire. And, you know, don't read anything into that. It's not as if I'm recording that in the same night. Just a random coincidence, or it's not as if I'm like trying to record this episode over the weekend before making my way down to Mobile. I know some of you guys got real mad because I kept calling it mobile. My bad. Just like, you know, the Mariota stands were mad because I kept saying Mariota this summer. You know, just let me know, you know, don't get too mad when I mispronounce things. Mobile. But yeah, you know, I'll be traveling down to Mobile this weekend, and it's not as if I'm like banking an episode just in case I won't be able to record something Sunday due to travel and hotel Wi-Fi and all that stuff and more. But, you know, today's episode, we're going to be talking all about the Senior Bowl, and sort of we touched upon some of these things the other day on Friday's episode with Jarvis Davis, and Jarvis is going to be focused on those pass rushers. And I kind of mentioned that I'm going to be focused on the offensive linemen. And I think that's really where my eyes are going to be glued, because it goes back to something I made, a comment I made to Jarvis, which is it feels like when I look at the 50 or so trench players that are headed down to Mobile, and I've seen probably at least a game of like 30 of them. It feels like to me that the majority of the talent, the majority of the guys that are certainly going to be like potential first round picks, second round picks, early third round picks, the majority of those guys seem to be on the offensive side of the ball, particularly at that offensive tackle position, where there are several guys that may not be first round picks, but certainly could be very early second round picks. And it just feels like the talent is more shifted to the offensive line. It'll be fascinating to sort of see, you know, going into the week with that expectation, what sort of I'm coming out of the week with, and whether or not the defensive linemen sort of show up. Typically in these one-on-one drills that everybody is glued to, the marquee matchups in these Senior Bowl practices that kick off Tuesday, it's usually favored for the defensive linemen. So I'll be curious to sort of see if my expectation that the talent is more on the offensive side of the ball, you know, and the defensive line doesn't show out, or the defensive line says in a couple of names sort of, you know, pop up on my radar. I'm like, okay, that guy really did a great work this week going up against quote unquote superior offensive line talent. But, you know, we'll later in the episode, we'll answer a listener question who kind of asked like what happens given the depth of the defensive linemen in this draft class, you know, what should the Falcons do in round one if they don't take a defensive lineman? And we'll get into that. But like for me with this D-line group and edge rushers, like I see a lot of good players, but I see very few great ones, right? I see a lot of guys that are similar to me in terms of like overall talent level as like D'Angelo Malone or Taquan Graham, guys that like can be, you know, low level starters, high caliber rotational guys that you would love to draft between say round 2, round 4, round 5, But I don't necessarily know if I see a lot of impact guys that are high end, you know, edge rushers that are going to be, you know, 8+ sack guys, you know, defensive linemen that are going to be, you know, among the better interior D linemen and D tackles in the NFL. There's a handful of those guys, but I don't know if you have that sort of depth. And so we'll sort of see what the Falcons do. It's part of the reason why I'm not necessarily married to the idea of using their early round picks at those position groups, because I don't necessarily, you know, I feel like the Falcons should be very aggressive attacking those needs up front in free agency. And certainly with the hiring of Ryan Nielsen and potentially luring several ex-Saints players here, you know, that to me makes a ton of sense. But without all that preamble to say, let's talk about some of these offensive linemen that I am going to be focused on in these practices, and particularly some of these offensive tackles: Cody Mock of North Dakota State, Blake Freeland of BYU, Jalen Duncan of Maryland, Matthew Bergeron of Syracuse, Darnell Wright of Tennessee, and DeJuan Jones of Ohio State. And I think several of these guys are potential good fits for the Falcons, particularly going back to a conversation we had the other day when breaking down the offensive line. If the Falcons, you know, are looking for a Caleb McGarry replacement, should he walk in free agency, or looking for sort of a swing tackle that they can sort of stash for a couple of years and then develop that guy to be a potential heir apparent to Jake Matthews or a potential replacement for Caleb McGarry should he slow down in the future. And Cody Mock is a guy I'm a big fan of. I think he's got one of the best blends of athleticism technique in this draft class. I'm looking forward to see how he handles the jump in competition, right? Coming from North Dakota State, and whether or not he can hold his own against some of these SEC guys and, you know, Power Five guys that he'll be practicing against. The main concern with Cody Mock that I'm hearing from folks is that his arm length is a little short. And, you know, if it's a certain level, people may be looking at him as a guard as opposed to an offensive tackle. Blake Freeland is a similar player. You know, BYU is an independent, but they're not playing like premium, you know, Power Five schools week in and week out. And so I do want to see how he handles some of that competition. Jalen Duncan is a superb athlete, maybe one of the best, most athletic tackle in this draft class. Great movement skills. You love it in the outside zone scheme, but he really struggles against power. And I want to see how he handles that in some of these one-on-ones if guys are bull rushing him. Matthew Bergeron, really solid, hard-nosed, physical guy, you know, can play tackle, but I also kind of think maybe he can be a guard. And I want to see how he handles, you know, show some of those movement skills when we talk about the ideal fit in this outside zone scheme that the Falcons run. Those guards are heat-seeking missiles, you know, taking out linebackers at the second level. And you got to have that athleticism to do that. And I want to see if he can do that. And he's playing alongside Darnell Wright on the American team. And those guys are going to be coached by Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator of the Bears, who's going to be the head coach. Charles London, the Falcons quarterback coach, is going to be the offensive coordinator. And so I'm wondering if that American team is going to, you know, incorporate some outside zone concepts in their practices and eventually in the game because of that Bears and Falcons influence. And it'll be a good litmus test for Bergeron. It'll be a good litmus test for Darnell Wright, who's a massive human being, like I think he's like 340, right? And seems to be a good mover for a guy that size. And I kind of want to see him on the hoof to see if he can step up. And he's one of my favorite right tackles in this draft class. And then, of course, you just have the largest human being on the planet. It's DeJuan Jones from Ohio State, 6'9", 370. We'll see what he weighs in. That's going to be a spectacle in terms of what size he can. And he can move well for that size. This is not Daniel Falele, who was just kind of a big, stiff guy, you know, two years ago, whenever he was down at the Senior Bowl. Jones can move, right? This is a big physical specimen. And just seeing how, you know, him go out there and just be big, a physical specimen against some of these pass rushers in these one-on-one drills is something I'm certainly looking forward to. So those are going to be the main guys that I'll be focused on. There'll be some interior guys, John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota and several others that I'll also be keeping my eye on and sort of seeing sort of who wins this kind of tug of war between the offensive line and the defensive line. I'm having expectations for the offensive line, but as I said, you know, the defensive line, given the lower expectations, can come in and surprise me. But speaking of lower expectations, but as we continue today's episode, I do want to answer a listener question about my expectations that comes from at NFL Falcons TD on Twitter. He asks, is this your first time attending the Senior Bowl? What are you excited for to see/do there? And yes, it is my first time making my trip down to Mobile. And, you know, this has been something that's kind of been on my bucket list for several years at least 8 years, if not more, that I wanted to make it down. And so I am excited, but I'm also trying to keep my expectations limit. I'm trying not to have expectations, right? My expectations are I'm going to see a lot of football. I'm going to see a lot of people in person that I've only known through the internet, Locked On people, Falcon fans that I know are going down, several NFL types that, you know, I've only been following for years and whatnot, getting to sort of shake their hands and all that sort of stuff. So that's what I'm looking forward to. But as far as anything beyond that, I don't want to necessarily put too high expectations and be like, oh, this is going to be the greatest experience of my life. And, you know, this is going to be a thing that I do every year for the next 10 years. I don't want to put those expectations on. I just want to sort of experience, take it all in and just have fun with it. So that's kind of what I'm, you know, excited to see, just having no expectations and just enjoying it in the moment. But we will move on from that moment and continue today's episode, getting into more listener questions, including whether or not Desmond Ridder would have gone higher if we could redo the 2022 draft. What about Brock Purdy? Would he have been taken ahead of Desmond Ridder? And we'll also talk about what Michael Walker's role is moving forward as we continue today's episode. I want to tell you about Prize Picks, a fun new way to play daily fantasy. Pick 2 to 6 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money. It used to be just 5 players, and you only win 10 times. Prize Picks is upping the ante, guys. And so now you can pick up the 6 players and win even more money. And the great thing about Prize Picks is you're not competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections. And whether you want to check out NFL projections, NBA, NHL, college sports, WNBA, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, and so much more, Prize Picks is safe, it's fast, it's easy. It's currently in operation in over 30 states in the U.S. and Canada. All you got to do is download the app, Prize Picks app, or go to prizepicks.com to sign up, and first-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That means if you deposit $100, you will get $100 to play with. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. So don't forget that promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Guys, I want to thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen. Why not check out Locked On NFL for your second listen? Get the daily conversations about the biggest stories in the NFL by subscribing to Locked On NFL, available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. So we got a question from I Don't Know If I Want Lamar at Sumo Gondola on Twitter. He asks, what is your opinion of Michael Walker and his future in Atlanta with him going into a contract year? So 6 months ago, I like fully expected, okay, Walker, Troy Anderson, they'll be the Falcons' 2 starting inside linebackers in 2023. But then I think around midseason, I want to say it was the Chargers game, Michael Walker was kind of stripped of his green dot responsibilities, which is calling the defense, and that was handed over to Rashawn Evans. And then we saw after the bye week, a couple of weeks later, you know, he was benched in favor of Troy Anderson getting those starts. And so it makes me less inclined that the Falcons are going to hand any job to Michael Walker. Maybe he wins a competition again. He's a hardworking guy. Everybody knows that. But, you know, I don't think the Falcons are going to plan on just like, well, yeah, Michael Walker's definitely going to be one of our starters this year. So at the very least, they'll bring in some competition to push him. And in terms of my opinion on Michael Walker, I've never been a, you know, super high on him, right? But I have noted several times before that he's kind of outperformed my relatively low expectations in his first 2 seasons in 2020 and 2021, you know, but when I evaluated him in my scouting report coming out of that 2020 draft, I sort of saw him as a guy that in the future could be a high level backup, a low level starter, and basically a guy that, you know, when you get to year 3, year 4 of his rookie contract, could be a functional starter for you. But the reason why you're starting him is because you don't have better options, not necessarily because you think he's a good option, right? And it feels like that's kind of been dead on where Michael Walker is at this point. You know, last year would have been year 3, 2021 or 2022, I'm sorry. And then this upcoming season would be year 4. And if he does wind up starting, it's presumably, now maybe he makes a massive jump, but presumably because the Falcons don't have better options. So I feel like I was probably a little too low on his floor when I go back and reassess that, but it feels like it's been dead on in terms of assessing his ceiling. So we'll see if he can kind of break through that and really, you know, sort of put it all together. But it's interesting because, you know, we talked about this when we broke down the Ryan Nielsen thing, and you're eyeing a free agent like Caden Ellis, who sort of came into his own in New Orleans this past year, especially down the stretch in 2022. And you could imagine the Falcons going out there and paying him a lucrative contract and having him alongside Troy Anderson and Michael Walker in the middle of that defense. So we'll see. So that will be something maybe we'll touch upon later in February when we, you know, do our year-end breakdowns of that linebacker position. But we'll move on to Nate Dogg, RIP, at Lord Chaos 777 on Twitter. He is, who are your top five underrated edge rushers that you like? And at this point, I don't really have any edge rushers that I feel like are that underrated, right? I probably would have said, you know, if you had asked me this a couple of days ago, Will McDonald, the Iowa State pass rusher, who's going to be down at Mobile in the Senior Bowl, and then saw him as a very solid, you know, second round sort of talent. But then Daniel Jeremiah put him in the first round in his most recent mock draft. So I'm like, okay, is he underrated at that point now, if he's going to go higher than, say, the 50th overall pick or something like that? Another guy that I'm a fan of is B.J. Ojulari, the LSU pass rusher, younger brother of Azeez Ojulari. I'm sure the Georgia fans are familiar with him. And he's being kind of projected as a late first round, player. I kind of see him as a guy that could go somewhere in the middle of the first round, top 15 potentially. But, you know, I sort of evaluate him as an unrefined but super athletic guy. And that's part of the reason why I think he could go higher in the draft. But it kind of all depends on how he tests, right? If he goes to the combine and doesn't test like a super athlete, then, you know, he's just basically an unrefined, pretty good athlete, I guess you would guess. And so that's not necessarily a guy that I think, you know, deserves to be a top 15 pick. So right now, to me, going back to a previous point, I don't know if this edge class is full of underrated guys. And I've heard a lot of rhetoric from a lot of, you know, draft people that, you know, or tend to be a little bit more knowledgeable of the entirety of the class, is I think some people are maybe thinking that this edge class is a little overrated in terms of certain guys are being projected, you know, a little too high, guys like Miles Murphy, Tyree Wilson, you know, some of these other guys. So we'll see how that turns out. There's a lot of good edges in this draft class, but again, going back to a previous point, you know, there may be more D'Angelo Malones and Arnold Ebiketties, if you get what I'm saying. So we'll see how that plays out. Scott at One Pylon asks a similar question. Who is your sleeper wide receiver for this draft year? I don't really have one. I haven't really watched the wide receivers. I've watched a few of these guys, you know, no Jordan Addison, see Quentin Johnson. I know Jackson Smith and Jigba from last year. He barely played this year. I've seen highlights of Zay Flowers. I've seen a little bit of Tyler Scott, a couple other guys. But, you know, the thing with wide receivers is, like, there's going to be, like, 30-plus guys that get drafted every single year. And if you want to basically find a sleeper wide receiver, like, you got to watch, like, 20, 25 at least wide receivers to be able to say, like, this guy's a sleeper. So, I don't plan on watching that many receivers. I'm kind of wait and see mode at that position to sort of see if the Falcons address that in free agency. All right. If they go out there and get an Allen Lazard or Corey Davis, then I won't necessarily need to feel like I need to do a whole lot of homework on wide receivers at that point. So that's, I'm kind of punting on that position. Our next question comes from Steven Brooklyn. He asks, if the 2022 draft were redone, knowing what we know now, would Desmond Ridder likely go higher and would Brock Purdy be drafted ahead of Ridder? Thanks. So I think the answer is yes to both questions. You know, again, recency bias. And again, it's not as if I'm recording this episode before, you know, the AFC championship game. So I don't know if Brock Purdy and the 49ers, of course, I know, I already know the result of that game. So, you know, my answer will not be influenced by that because, of course, I already know that. But, you know, I think you could probably make the case. You could make an argument that, you know, if you could redo the draft, knowing what we know now, Houston or Washington, one of those teams in the middle of the first round, may take a swing on Brock Purdy as opposed to Kenyon Green or Jahan Dotson or something like that. I certainly think you can make a case that, you know, probably someone would have pulled the trigger on Desmond Ridder, maybe in the late second round, early third round before the Falcons were on the clock. I mean, the Colts were one spot ahead of the Falcons at 73. I can't remember who they took at that spot, but I'm sure knowing what they know now, they would probably be feel a lot better about their future moving forward if they had a young quarterback like Desmond Ridder on the roster, given the disaster that occurred at that quarterback position for them this past year. And that's technically earlier than higher than where he went, 73 to 74. So I hope that answers your question, Steve. So we got another question talking about this defensive line class, continuing that conversation. And if the Falcons choose to wait in terms of getting that pass rusher, what is another position that they may take at the top of round one? And we'll get to that coming up. NFL playoffs are here, guys, and we're excited to tell you about our new sports betting partner here at Locked On. That is, of course, the number one sports book in America. That's FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. New customers, if you join today, you'll get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn, and FanDuel is going to let you do your favorite bets, whether it's money lines, against the point spread, player props, right? If you're, we're talking about the draft, you know, there's props for who's going to be the number one overall pick, Jalen Carter, Will Anderson, +500, 5-1 odds, Will Levis, you know, potentially sneaking in there and overtaking Bryce Young as the current favor with 10-1 odds. You can't beat that. So check out FanDuel, use the app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. And you don't want to miss out by placing that first $5 bet, you know, to get $150 in free bets. You know, if you play $5 on Will Levis, you get $50 in addition to those $150 in free bets, win or lose. So head on over to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. So wrapping up today's episode, we have a question from Mark Reimers at Mark Reimers 5. He asks, I've heard this is a great D-line draft. If you were making the first pick, would you get the top running back, wide receiver, or cornerback and or offensive lineman, and then draft D-line in the second and third round? So as I've discussed earlier, you know, I don't know if I love this D-line group. Again, I think you can get some solid rotational players, but, you know, I don't know if I would pull the trigger on guys in round two or three, because at least currently, and we'll see, maybe this changes, you know, after the Senior Bowl and the Combine and all that stuff, I'm certain there will certainly opinions will change and drift and shift over the coming months. But, you know, right now I'm like, is the talent drop off from round two to round four that significant? So I think you can even wait even longer and address some other areas of need. But to answer your question, in all likelihood, you know, in terms of what I would do, you know, I don't know. But in terms of what the Falcons would probably do, I said this on the previous episode talking about Ryan Nielsen. I'll say it again. You know, I think the Falcons, if I was sitting here shooting my shot, you know, in terms of what the Falcons are going to take at the top of round one, I think they're going to take a corner. Getting another man coverage corner that can, you know, line up across from AJ Terrell is going to be something that's going to be important in this Ryan Nielsen scheme that we're imagining is going to be very similar and reminiscent to the Dennis Allen scheme, which is one of the most man heavy cover defenses in the NFL the last couple of seasons. So I think that is going to be the plan. And my guess is, sitting here today, shooting my shot, it's either going to be Christian Gonzalez or Devon Witherspoon. You know, I think Witherspoon's going to be the consensus cornerback heading into the combine, but Christian Gonzalez checks a lot of the boxes that we typically see of corners taken in the first, in the top 10, right? That he's like 6'2", 200. And we talked about this a lot last year going into the combine, where, you know, the conversation was, could the Falcons take a cornerback at the top of last year's draft? And we talked about how, you know, corners that typically are top 10 typically are 6 foot plus, 200 plus, you know, have certain arm length. And Christian Gonzalez seems to check all those boxes from a physical measurement standpoint. While Devon Witherspoon is listed like 6 foot, 183 pounds, you know, may not have quite the arm length. He's not, doesn't have short arms from what I can tell, over 31 inches. So he's not short armed in that regard, but he seems to be a little bit more built like Denzel Ward, who, you know, went fourth overall back in the 2018 draft, I think it was, but is not a guy that is sort of the typical top 10 sort of corner. So I'll be curious to sort of see how the board stacks with those two guys. You have the Lions. A lot of people are expecting them to go and draft a, you know, bookend opposite Jeff Okuda at that 6th overall draft selection, and then the Falcons. So if the Lions take the typical top 10 and Christian Gonzalez, maybe that leaves the Falcons taking, you know, Devon Witherspoon, who at 8, who a lot of people seem to think is a better overall player. And I, you know, I haven't done sort of my final sort of grades on those guys, but I kind of am leaning in that direction. I think Witherspoon's probably a better overall player, although, you know, Gonzalez may have the higher ceiling in that regard because of those physical tools. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, Mark, you asked an interesting question, and, you know, it's funny because I say, hey guys, submit your questions for these Q&As, and then you guys ask questions, and then some of them I'm like, ask better questions. But like, you know, my issue with your question mark, and this is nothing personal, is you're asking me about positions and the draft, and this is the thing that I continue to try to hammer home. The draft, you're not drafting positions, you're drafting players. And so when we talk about the top corner or whatever, just sort of illustrated, as I just said, with Witherspoon versus Gonzalez, you have another guy like Joey Porter Jr. from Penn State, who's basically built exactly the same as like a Richard Sherman, 6'2 plus, 190 pounds, super long, that type of guy. These guys are different, right? And what you're sort of, you know, projecting them to do in the NFL is very different. You know, like, let's take an example, not of draft picks, but the wide receiver position. We talked about this the other day when we were breaking down that position group, and you look at PFF's numbers, you know, sort of the top three receivers in the NFL this past year were Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, and AJ Brown. Those guys have three different types of skill sets, but they all have wide, you know, WR next to their name. And so like, when you talk about like who are the top players, you have to designate what is the player, not the positions. You know what I'm saying? And so what is the consensus number one for one team may not be the consensus number one guy for another team, right? Like, you take Christian Gonzalez versus Devon Witherspoon again, right? I think Christian Gonzalez is a really good fit for a team that wants to play a lot of press man coverage, right? Devon Witherspoon is going to be a better fit for a team that probably wants to play a little bit more zone, wants their corners to be a bigger part of run support. Because like, if you guys watch some Devon Witherspoon highlights and clips, you're going to see him sticking dudes, right? He's going to be popping guys. Christian Gonzalez is not a good tackler from what I can tell. Like, he's a very, very, you know, uninterested in tackling despite his size. Maybe that can be fixed and coached up, but like, you know, that's been sort of a common thing I've noticed in the handful of games I've watched from him. And so if you play a lot of zone, like, that's not really the guy that you really like. You might like a Joey Porter Jr. more than that because of his size and his instincts in that zone coverage. So, you know, the point of me bringing this up is like, when you guys ask me these questions, especially at this early part of the process where I'm really just kind of trying to know a little bit about a lot of guys as opposed to sort of honing in on who the top guys and stacking my board, that's going to be something that I'm going to do over the course of the next 3 months. And especially after free agency, when it comes to who the Falcons should take, I'm like, I'm not even close to that part of my process. So I don't have a problem answering these questions and doing the best I can to give you the answers that you guys are wanting. But these are the types of questions that I think are better suited for April as opposed to January, because I can't give you a definitive answer, because at least for me, like, my process is like, it's going to take time before I can definitively say, you know, who I would take in the first round, who I think is the best fit for the Falcons. And sort of, I want to see what they do in free agency. That to me is much more meaningful at this point in time, who they're going to sign in free agency, who they're going to get to help out Grady Jarrett. You know, if they do go out and get a Jamel Dean or James Bradbury or somebody along those lines, all of a sudden taking a cornerback in at eight goes out the window, right? If Caleb McGarry leaves via free agency, then all of a sudden an offensive lineman, an offensive tackle, you know, makes a lot more sense for them at eight. You know, all of those things are variables and factors that are unknown at this point in time. And so like, the idea of like being able to be like, this is who we should take in round one at this point in time in the calendar, I just think, you know, doesn't make a ton of sense. But, you know, of course, submit your questions. I will do my best to answer them to the best of my abilities, given my very limited information and knowledge at this point in time. But we will continue to build that knowledge, right? That's going to be something that's going to be routine when we get to Mock Draft Mondays, starting that first Monday after the Super Bowl. And we got basically 11 Mondays between then and the draft. And my goal is to break down the players rather than the positions, right, that everybody focuses on. And I get it. You know, you're asking these questions because you don't know that much about the players, right? And you want me to share my insight on it. And that's my goal. We'll get there, but we're not quite there yet at this point. So we'll get there eventually, guys. I hope, you know, I will get there in mobile, but I'm already mobile. I'm already there. So, you know, I'm already there in mobile, ready to go for these practices. This is not a banked episode or anything like that. So check me out in mobile. We'll be doing some practice reports. I'm sure Jarvis will be on the podcast. I'm sure some other few people that you know and love or hate or don't have a strong affinity towards will be on the podcast over the course of the week to get their thoughts on, you know, some of these standout players and whatnot. So make sure you keep Locked On Falcons as your first listen. Check out Locked On Sports Atlanta as your second, Locked On NFL, Locked On Braves, Locked On Hawks, Locked On Bulldogs, all of them part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.